This is what I want you to do this morning. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. And let's stand together. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I want to begin reading at verse number 3, and we're going to read down to verse number 7. And then we'll turn to the very next chapter and read the first three verses. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning with verse number 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, You have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now turn to chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2 and let's read the first three verses together. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. Now, some of you may remember, and some of you may not remember. So I'm going to help you remember. I don't know if it was my very first sermon or my second one, but this is what I do remember. On June the 11th, 2017, before I was ever voted in as pastor of this church, I preached this message here in this sanctuary. And today, I'm going to preach this same message, but very differently. But the title of this message today, and hallelujah, I'm glad to preach this because I feel like it. You know, we have that song we sing, I feel like traveling on. And I do. Today I want to preach to you on this subject, time to move on. Any of you remember that message I preached? It's okay. You don't have to remember it. Because now it's time to move on. To this time. So I want us to bow our head and close our eyes. And I want my good friend, Brother Paul, would you, Brother Hinella, would you pray for me, pray for this message, and pray for our church?
Father, you've met with us already this morning.
Yes.
Yes.
God, yes, Lord.
God, we need you.
Yes, we do.
We don't need us, and we sure need you. I pray, Father, you fill our preacher right now with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
And don't you come on high to be able to proclaim the word of God faithfully.
Yes.
God, help our hearts to be able to receive it.
Yes.
Lord, we know there's nothing wrong with the seed, the problem with the soil.
Yes.
And I pray, Father, that if you build and bring us a seed right now, God, that you bring forth fruit and be for repentance.
Yes.
God, we love you. We thank you. Pray you be honored and glorified by the end of today. We pray there be a smile upon your face.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me tell you exactly what I want to do today. I want to encourage this church, and I want to exhort this church. And I hope that when this message is over, this church has been encouraged, and you've been exhorted. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is basically the second giving of the law, with some additions and subtractions. And so what you have is Moses there. The whole book is basically Moses giving a long sermon to the children of Israel right before he dies, and he goes and he looks at the promised land. He's buried, and Joshua takes his place to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, the Bible tells us that they had been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. They're getting right there to the end of their time in the wilderness. And you see that in verse number 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. And Moses reminds the children of Israel what God said to them at Horeb. He told them that they had stayed long enough in Mount Horeb and that it was time to move on. And then in the very next chapter, Moses then reminds them of another time that God spoke to them and told them it was time to leave. Because they had compassed Mount Seir many days, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And he tells them to turn and take their journey because it was time for them to move on. And you know what I believe for me? By the way, the Lord has done a great work in my heart this last week. Amen. A great work in my heart. And I believe he's done something in this church. And I want to take this great historical event that happened in the life of the children of Israel, and I want to make practical application to me, individually, me first, to a Christian, and then collectively to this church. I'm happy to say this morning that it's time to move on. And I'm ready to move on. And I believe you're ready to move on. And we're going to say some things today that's going to end some things and start a new chapter for us in the life of this church, and in my heart, and in your heart. So I want to make three observations from this text and make some practical application to us. And this is not going to be a long message. It's not going to be a difficult message to understand. But hopefully it'll help you and help us as a church. And I think we've already come together and even come together even further in unity as we look at this. Now, number one, I want to say this. Staying isn't wrong if you don't stay too long. Staying isn't wrong if you don't stay too long. You know, when you read back over there in Exodus chapter 13, it tells you something very interesting about how the Lord decided to lead the children of Israel out. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 17, this is what it said. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. He didn't take them the quick way because he said they were not ready for that war. They were not ready for that confrontation. And sometimes we are not ready to move on. Sometimes you're not ready to move on when things are happening in your life as an individual or as a church. You know, there are times that we are physically, emotionally, and spiritually unable to move on. Now, isn't that true? I can just speak about myself, okay? And God is gracious at that point with us, isn't he? Isn't God patient with us? He's patient with us as individual Christians. He's patient with us as a church. In Holy Hills, we've had a time of mourning, and we've had a time of sadness. And by the way, I just want to make this clear today. When we leave this church tonight, I really don't want to, I'm not going to talk much about it no more, and I ask you not to. We're going to bury some things and leave them behind here today. Yes, sir. It is time to move on. And listen, I know this has been tough on some of you, emotionally, I know that, spiritually, and I'm going to tell you like this, a church or a Christian that's been through something traumatic, you don't recover through this stuff overnight now, do you? It takes a while. You know, I believe there's been stages of grief. I've studied that as I've did my counseling, and some of you folks that meet here, when we do our grief therapy and our grief counseling, our grief meetings that we have. I've been through this with you on the stages of grief. And I don't know about you, but maybe you have, but me as a pastor, with what has went on, I went through all the stages. I went through the denial stage, like, no, this really ain't happening. I just need to reach out and talk to these people. We'll get it all fixed. And then the shock, like, yes, this is happening. This is out of my control. I am unable to fix this. And then the anger. And I've had some anger. Most of the time, I've had about 10% anger, 15% anger, and about 80% sadness and grief. But you know what the last stage in grief is? You see, you go through shock, you go through denial, you go through anger. Sometimes you'll go through depression and all that. But the last stage in the grief cycle is what I try to help you and get you through when we're having our grief counseling. And some of you that's been there, you know what this last stage is. The last stage of the grief, going through that, is acceptance. Yes, it did happen. Yes, it was bad. Yes, it was tough. And still is, and may be. But I have accepted it. It is here. And now God, for His sake, and my sake, and the sake of others, wants me to move on. And I believe that today. And I'm encouraged as I look around this church. Listen, folks, you know how many Bible-believing churches I go in that don't have half this many people that's here this morning? I want everybody in this church to look around. Look around. Look at the bus ministry we still have. Look at all the adults and the little kids and the children and the babies all the way across. I want you to look around now here. We've got more than enough to get the work of God done. I am encouraged. Last time you saw me Sunday, I bore my heart out to you. I told you where I was. But I probably have read more Bible, devotional Bible this last week. And prayed more, and I felt like the Lord was showing me something Sunday when we were going through all this, that, hey, I'm not saying there ain't no more troubles, there's always trouble. I'm not saying there ain't no more problems or whatever, but it was almost like He was saying, you had the meeting, you talked, you heard the people, you told them, I'm tying a bow on it. I'm packaging it up. Now it's time for everybody to move on. And that's what I want to do. And I believe that about you too. Now, it's been a tough time for this church. But we can move on. And it's okay. It's okay that some of you have been sad. It's okay that some of you have been disappointed. Some of you have been angered. And some people have been disappointed with others. And some of you have been disappointed with me. And that's okay. Now, it isn't okay if you've been disappointed with God. But if you've been disappointed with me or others, you're in your right. You're in your right. And it's been tough and it's been rough and the things we went through. And listen, this just doesn't apply to what we're going through in the church. This could apply to somebody's personal life in here this morning. There may be something you just went through and you went through the stages of grief and it's got a hold of you and it's been tough and it's been rough. But you know what? God may just be telling you now it's time to move on. It's time, as we say down there where I'm from in Alabama, quit wallowing around in it. You know what wallowing is? It ain't wallowing like you guys up north say. It's wallering. Wallering. Something isn't ruined. It's burnt. Noah's name isn't Noah. It's Noah. That's where I come from. Now, my friend here, Brother Paul, up there, he's originally from New York, and they pronounce it right. They don't. I'm glad he loves me so much, even though I talk like a come off the. Know if it's a Beverly Hillbillies or like I told you before, if you want to know about my people and how they really are, you watch an episode of Dukes of Hazzard, you watch an episode of Swamp People, and let them folks intermarry. And that's my people. And the sad thing is, I'm not lying, am I? I'm not. It's no hyperbole. This is no embellishment. Darby can tell you. So number two, I want to say this: staying is wrong when you don't want to move on. You see, number one, staying isn't wrong if you don't stay too long. We all have to sit down and get us a breath, don't we? Staying becomes wrong when you don't want to move on. There comes a time when a person or a church has to have a desire to move on. You know what you and I got to do? We got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. We got to say enough is enough. You know, that's an interesting passage over there in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, that's talking about that impotent man that got healed. He couldn't walk, and he was that way. He had been sick for 38 years. And when Christ comes up to the scene, he asks him this question. He says, "Will thou be made whole?" Which seems like a pretty crazy question to ask somebody that's been sick for 38 years. And you ask him, "What do you mean? Well, I've been sick for 38 years. I've been here at the pool. Nobody's put me in. I don't get down there in time enough when the angel troubles the water and stirs it up. Why would you ask me without being made whole?" Now, Jesus Christ is a lot smarter than us because he knows some people don't want to be made whole. You see, some people equate being made whole with getting rid of the anger, with getting rid of the bitterness, with getting rid of the resentment. And I'm not just talking about this church situation here this morning. Hey, maybe somebody sitting in here today, you've had anger and resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness held in your heart for 20 and 25 years now against somebody. You will not let it go. And the Lord, Jesus Christ, has got you here today and saying, "Let it go. It's time to move on." We will have a invitation time at the end of this service. And it'll be an invitation time for us as a church collectively, but for you individually, because your problem today in moving on may not have nothing to do with what's happened in this church. It may have something to do with something that happened before you ever walked in this church. And it's destroying you. And you're going to die in bitterness and unforgiveness. And I don't want you to. You don't have to. God doesn't want you to. But some people don't want to move on because they're saying, "If I move on and get rid of all this bitterness and anger and hurt feelings, then I'm justifying what they've done." No, no, you're not. You're justifying God. He told you to do it. And just remember now, all you good little saints in here, and me too, you better take your halos off. All of us have run our mouth in church. All of us have talked behind people's back. All of us have been involved in some, at least miniature, a minor backstabbing. All of us are guilty. All of us have had our problems. Amen. And I sure want God to be gracious and merciful to me. So I owe every one of them and everybody in my life, no matter who they are, grace and mercy as well. The church should have a healthy desire to move on. Listen, enough. Would you listen to me today? Enough has been said by everybody. There have been enough grievances mentioned. And let me just tell you, I think back to a time here when I got to this church. I can't remember if it was the first or second time when I filled in, but you'll know what I'm talking about. You folks that were here, you remember it. Brother Gwynn was still moderating the thing. And by the way, nobody ever, ever, ever better say one bad thing about Brother Gwynn Hodges around me. He's the reason there's still a church here. That's the finest man as you'll ever meet. And I love that man. I love him. I remember he got up here and I preached. I preached that morning. I come up here and I preached that morning and preached that night. And that's when, I don't want to go into it, but there was some things happened that night, some grievances talked about, and people standing up and talking and whatever and going back and forth. And I don't know what it was, but it was almost like the Lord had already put me in the pastor mode. It was almost like y'all didn't know it yet, but I knew I was going to be the pastor of this church. Y'all hadn't voted on me. But I knew, I just thought, this is where God's going to put me. And I remember what I said to Brother Gwynn. That thing was over and we got everybody calmed down and people said what they were going to say and some more people began to exit and not come back. I walked up to Brother Gwynn and I said, "Brother," I said, "I'm not in charge of this. I'm not the preacher. I'm not nothing." I said, "But I just want to say something." I said, "Two or three more times of this and we won't have a church here." I said, "Nothing else needs to be said. Nothing else needs to be opened up. Nobody else should be able to air out their grievances. Y'all have had 10 months of it now." And you know what? Listen, I'm not being ugly this morning. If you're unsure about something, you should have been here last Sunday. If you couldn't have been here last Sunday, then ask somebody. But I don't want nobody else coming up and asking me nothing. I don't want nobody else to come up and ask me anything about what was said, who did what, who was involved in what. I don't want to answer no more questions. I don't want to talk about nobody else. I don't want to bring the thing up. I'm going to take my own advice. There ain't no benefit in talking about it anymore, okay? We're going to finish it here today. We're going to bury it beneath the altar, beneath these pumpkins here, see? We're going to bury it down here. Nothing, no more good can come out of it. There was a transition in the life of this church over 6 years ago when we had said enough. And now there's another time in the life of this church where we've said enough. And again, if you don't get a hold of anything else, you get a hold of this today. This thing I'm talking about has got nothing to do with anybody else that's left this church or whatever. This has got to do with you and God, my friend. God, I don't answer for nobody but me. All right? I don't know about you, but I got plenty to answer for. This is between you and God. You say, yeah, but no. Shut your mouth now. Just pop down. That's between them and God. I'm here today to find out what God wants me to do. And I want you to find out before you leave what He wants you to do. And then us all together find out what does He want this church to do. And one thing I know He wants it to do, and He wants you to do, is to move on. And we're going to move on. We're going to move on. Time to move on. I think of a couple of verses and I'll get to my last point here. Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not? No, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Sort of what Brother Brad read the other day. Philippians 3:13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what I'm asking you to do. And number three, I want to say this. Staying too long makes it harder to move on. I think about that old hymn, why do you wait, dear brother? There's no reason to wait. You know, the longer you refuse God's marching orders, the more callous your heart can become. And if you and I stay too long in a place where God doesn't want us to stay, we can grow a root of bitterness, can't we? And the Bible tells you about that root of bitterness over there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15, that root of bitterness can defile many. You see, you don't keep bitterness just to yourself. It gets a hold of your wife, gets a hold of your youngins, gets a hold of your friends, gets a hold of your church members. It just branches out. And it's time for us as a Christian and a church just to move on. It's time to cross the Jordan and take the land. It's not a time for excuses as to why we can't either. But it's also not a time to figure out everything. Listen, folks, I don't have all the answers right now. We have some maybe some difficult days ahead of us. We have some days where we're going to have to make decisions about finances and ministries and replacing people. So far, I've been so pleased with how you folks have stepped up and plugged the gaps. And we're just doing it. We're just trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and do what He tells us to do. And I appreciate that. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But it's not time to talk about what went wrong and express our opposition to whomever or whatever. You see, the longer you stay, the more difficult it will be to move on. You hear me? The longer you stay, the more difficult it's going to be for you to move on. I don't know how many of you remember this, because I don't think none of you remember the message. But as I got to the end of that message over 6 years ago, I used the same illustration I'm fixing to use right now. I told you a story about something that happened to me a few years before I'd gotten here, how I had a frozen shoulder. Any of you remember that even? That's okay. And I don't know why I remember some things about some of you. Some of the people that's gone, I remember where they were. Miss Kathy, I don't know why. Maybe it's because you have such a pleasant, nice face. I'm not being funny. She does. She's just a good woman. Miss Kathy, you were sitting right over here. I didn't even know you. But I remember your kind face. Sitting right in here somewhere. And I told the story about having a frozen shoulder, and the thing began to freeze up on me. I didn't know this, Dr. Presley, but diabetes can get that more. Well, you get diabetes, that's just everything gets on you then. I was favoring the thing. I thought, man, I need to get it seen about, but I'm sure I tore my rotator cuff. They're going to do surgery, and I want to finish deer season. Then we got through deer season, Brother Chad. I said, man, I've got to make turkey season. Because I know I boogered it up. They're going to operate on it. And then, I won't be able to shoot a shotgun, so I want to get through turkey season. And I just waited and waited, and I'd favor it and favor it. And that thing would just lock up more and more. I knew I was in bad trouble one time when I needed to grab something from the back, and I tried to reach down and grab it, and I felt like somebody had put me on the rack. I didn't know that I had messed up. Just listen to me. I had favored that arm and waited. I thought, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. They're going to redo my rotator cuff. I'm going to be out for a while. Rotator cuff was fine. I had a frozen shoulder. And you know what? Why it got frozen? Because it was hurt. I hurt it. And I wouldn't move it. I wouldn't go on. And you know what had to happen then? I got hurt. That physical therapist took me in there. He hurt me so bad. And he had several people in there. There'd be a bunch of like a teenage girl that hurt herself, if I'm remembering right, and some women over here. And he'd get to pulling on them, and they'd go, and he'd go, I'm sorry. And he'd back off. He didn't care about me. You weren't there. How do you know it wasn't true? I know it was true. That sucker'd pull on my arm, and he'd pull it out, and because he said that, see, it had frozen in there, and he had to pull it out. He had to keep pulling it, pushing it, pulling on it, pushing it. How many of you ever had a frozen shoulder? Anybody besides me? Okay. Any of you go to physical therapy where the guy just pulled and pushed and pulled and pushed? Now, I got a pretty good tolerance for pain. I really do. My wife tell you. Most of the pain I feel is emotional pain. But I'm pretty good with physical. I've had gout and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, there was a couple of physical therapy times. And again, that guy was rougher on me than women. I realize that. That's pretty painful, isn't it, Doc? But you know what happened? It could have all been avoided when I first started feeling it, brother. Because I waited so long to deal with it. It just seized up. Church, Christian, whatever it is that's got you tore up today, the longer you wait to deal with it, the more painful and more difficult it's going to be to get you fixed. On that day that I preached, I made this last statement. And I'm going to read it to you word for word. I went back and found the message on sermon audios. And it was the very last statement I made before I said, every head bowed and eye closed. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Gwen. That's what I said that day 6 years ago. And I'm going to quote this word for word for you, the last statement I made. And I mean it just as much, if not more, today, some 6 years later. I said this. I said, what the church does with this sermon today may determine what God does with Holy Hills tomorrow. I mean that just as much today as I did then. I hope that you're encouraged, and I hope that you're exhorted. I am. And I hope in a moment, Brother Mark, we're going to have you come on, brother, as we're fixing to begin this invitation. Whatever it is you need to bury today, take care of today, and get up and say, I'm moving on for the Lord Jesus Christ today. I pray you'll do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.